We've been on Sunday evenings. We've been looking at the work that God gives the church to do. And we talked a little bit about how edifying or building up members is one of the important tasks that the church takes on. We looked last week at some of the provisions that God gives us that the church uses to build us up. And most importantly among them, at least in my mind, is the Lord's Supper. That's why when the apostle wrote to the Corinthians after they had mutilated the celebration of the supper and they've made it into something entirely different, he said, because of that, many of you are weak and sickly, and some of you are dying spiritually because they didn't have the wonderful encouragement that comes from the Lord's Supper. Now, as we concluded last week, we pointed out that we instruct each other in a lot of ways that are going to take us beyond assemblies. And we looked at 1 Timothy 5 and 1 Thessalonians 5 and Jude the 20th verse. Tonight, I want to continue thinking about that, and I want to make sure that we understand that we need to have a broader view of the work that the church does, building us up outside of assemblies. So tonight, we're going to talk about the way that the corporate body builds us up. And then next week, Dean is going to continue this discussion, and he'll talk about what individual Christians do. So the corporate body, of course, does some things as a corporate body, and individuals who make up the corporate body do some things by themselves. All of it is intended to accomplish the same task. As I was looking at all of this, I sort of summarized the work that the church does to build us up as providing opportunities for us. We want to do good work. That's what God has called us to do. And the church provides opportunities or makes us aware of opportunities that we can engage in. So let's look at some of the opportunities that we can engage in that build everyone up. Frequently, there are opportunities that arise that we become aware of, not necessarily things that we want to participate in as a corporate body, but opportunities for individuals to do good work. Because remember, we've made the point before that some things the church gets involved in a collective sense, and some things individuals get involved in on an individual basis. I don't think that it's the point or the purpose of the church to support ongoing medical research into some of the difficult diseases that we face. And one of the things that happens is when there are diseases that medical doctors need to work on, they'll sponsor maybe a walk, and individuals can go out and they can gather funds based on how many miles they walk in a particular location. Now, I don't think that the church as a whole, as an institution, I don't think the church has any business saying the church is going to participate in the walk for MS or the walk for brain cancer research or the walk for some other kind of good work that individual Christians might want to be involved in. But one of the things that the church can do is we get advertisements about those opportunities all the time, and the church can publicize those opportunities for individuals so that individuals can do that kind of thing. That's not the church participating in it, but it's the church aware of opportunities, making those opportunities available to people who want to do those kinds of things. Does that make sense? I think there's a big difference between the church being involved in the walk for MS and the church putting an advertisement on the bulletin board in the back that says there's going to be a walk for MS on March the 13th. And if you'd like to participate, then by all means, take advantage of that and support the work that people are doing. Support cancer research. Support everything that goes on that Christians ought to be supporting. Okay? So that's a part of the way that the church, in my mind, provides opportunities or makes opportunities available so that individuals can do the work that God wants them to do. God wants us to do the good work, and the church, because we're living in the society that we live in, because of the culture that we're a part of, we get a lot of advertisements about that kind of thing. Sometimes we just throw those advertisements in the trash. Sometimes those advertisements look like something that people individually could profitably be engaged in, and we publicize those. We're not engaged in it. We're just publicizing it. Okay? Thoughts?
So, Dean, are you saying, I missed part of what you said, but are you saying that if somebody was having this walkathon thing for MS or whatever, put up a brochure about it?
Yeah, sure. That's my point. If there's a walk for MS, the church is aware that that walk is happening, and we just make other people aware that that walk is happening. And if you want to participate, that's great. So we're not sponsoring it. We're not involved as a corporate body, but we're just making it known so that people can be involved if they choose to. Yeah.
Okay. No, go ahead. Well, I haven't thoroughly thought this through, so I probably shouldn't speak yet. Cindy, go ahead.
I
was going to say that quite often you might have a walk, like we've had lots of people who've had a cancer of one kind or another, in support of that person.
Well, sure.
You're showing your support for that person by posting that, and if somebody wants to go ahead and walk or go to the silent auction or whatever that is going on for that thing, you are looking out for the other person's interest in some way. You're unifying yourself with that person.
Yeah. And as individuals, we have a responsibility to support our friends. You know, individually, we have a responsibility to support our neighbors. So I think that, yeah, go ahead.
Do you feel like there's a difference between posting it on the bulletin board and announcing it from the pulpit?
I personally don't. I don't want to confuse somebody and make them think that the church is supporting this, that the church, if we were to announce it publicly, then and do it that way, then there might be some confusion in the mind of some people that the church was sponsoring it. But putting it on the bulletin board, I don't see a problem with that. I don't think that is going to tend to create the confusion. Now, do I think there's a problem with announcing it? No, but just be aware that we can create some confusion.
For some reason, I'm having not an issue with it, but an uncomfortableness about it. I think that if I went and visited somewhere and they had flyers up for whatever, I would assume the church is sponsoring it because they're advertising it. And like we've got a flyer back there right now that they're doing a house development down the road for something. I have no idea why it's up. But I don't know. I don't think that that's a good practice. And then what if I want something up, but somebody else wants something up that, I don't know. I feel like there could be some conflict with that, but I have to think about it.
Okay. Yeah. Lee.
I agree, Vicki. I think that if it's on the bulletin board, you can still get the impression that the church is sponsoring it.
That it's true. It's true. But we just have to, otherwise we're not going to make people aware of opportunities.
Well, when they have those things, it's all over the news and everywhere else.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Lee?
I was going to say the same identical thing. I would not want it to be left as an impression on anybody that's visiting that doesn't, that maybe is, they don't know enough about a child being a child of God, and they see that on the bulletin board or whatever, and then they get the wrong impression. Oh, well, this church God sponsored blah 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 and on and on. I don't want that on my conscience.
Yeah.
So I agree with Margaret and also Ronnie.
Yeah.
Or whoever that was.
Yeah. Dean.
Well, I understand, because most people have come from what I would consider a really, really conservative congregation on the issue. But where it's interesting to me, just back here listening, we're studying conflict resolution. And I love my wife, but she used the word assumption. So I would make the assumption. This morning, it's possible that those individuals made the assumption that their widows were intentionally being, right? So we're worried about, like, if a babe in Christ comes or a visitor comes, they're not going to put near as much thought into that bulletin board as we are. You know, but in the past, we've said, no, you can print out flyers and hand them out one-on-one. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. So it's an expedience. To answer your question on the housing thing, that's a low-income housing project that's being put in right down the street, and that's an opportunity for us, the members, to voice our concerns.
Or our support.
Or our support. But that came in the mail today. And see, this is why you ask the questions to the proper people. That came in the mail today. And for most of you, you have no clue the fight that we have with homeless people. Most of you don't know the fight that we have with a lot of people, because we just take care of that stuff. So that's up there. If you have a question, then ask the question. But worrying about assumptions and those, if it's not, you know, so, you know, I've never had a problem with having a specific bulletin board where you post a potluck. We announce during services a men's breakfast and the ladies' coffee. Jabberwocky, I mean, what was it? Coffee and bananas. Jabberwocky coffee. I don't know, whatever it was. But we announce those things after services from the pulpit. Those are not church-sponsored things. They're absolutely no different than what we're putting back here. It's just we're a local family. But to a visitor that comes in, they may go, oh, well, they, you know, well, if they have questions they need to ask.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's what we need to learn how to do. Quit murmuring, quit assuming, quit jump to conclusions, and just ask the question.
Well, we can be paralyzed because we're worried about what some visitor is going to think about this or about that. Number one, they're visitors here. Okay. that we're not, we don't conduct ourselves for the benefit of our visitors. That's just the fact of the matter. Yeah, Margaret, I think I stepped on you.
I was going to say that it just, to me, it looks like part of the work of the church if the church is advertising it. I might be wrong.
Well, you're right.
Okay. Yeah.
I've just always felt we should err on the side of caution if there is a question.
Okay. That's a wise course of action. There's no doubt that we err on the side of caution. But just remember, we can get to the point where we're paralyzed and we don't do anything because we're afraid to say anything. And I don't want to get there.
But yeah. On the other side, things can trickle in and we can go end up going the other way also.
Oh, that's true. That's true. No doubt. No doubt. I just think we need to, I'm worried that we suffer from visitor paralysis. And frankly, if you're visiting here, we didn't conduct our worship for you. Our worship is for the people that are a part of this church. And if you choose to join us, that's great. But we're not conducting ourselves for you.
Well, I worry that we can confuse the issue of what's my responsibility and what's the church's responsibility. We need to be sure that those things are kept separate.
Okay. That's a good point. And Dean is going to talk about individual responsibilities here next week. But what... And we do need to be clear about the distinction. Okay? There's no doubt we need to be clear about the distinction. But for us to post an announcement about a singing that's going to happen at South Salem doesn't mean that we're endorsing the singing at South Salem. We're not. It's just something that we're making people aware of. Now, I don't have any problem with endorsing something like that, but it's just something that we're making people aware of. Okay. Good thoughts. Thank you for all of that. And then there are some one another efforts that we make as individuals. Okay. So let's look at these one another efforts that we make. And these tend to be efforts that we make that are directed at other people that are a part of our assembly, that are a part of our members. Okay. Let's look at Philippians, the second chapter. And can I get somebody to read verses 1 through 4 and then drop down and read verses 19 through 21?
If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly so that I may also encourage you when I learned of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interest, and not those of Christ Jesus.
Okay. So what do you see here? What's he encouraging them to do first?
Be unified in the love of love of God and being of the same mind, which is the mind of God, following the Word and the Spirit. So you're totally involved in doing what God asks you to, and you have to humble yourself in order to be unified and put the other person first.
Okay. Anything else? I saw this as he's saying, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's comfort from love, so when somebody's suffering, comfort them. When somebody needs encouragement, encourage them. And I think that's what he's saying. Now, the second thing he said is, I'm sending Timothy down there to encourage you to do this. I don't think that's an indication that they weren't doing it, but I think there's an indication that Paul wanted Timothy to come down there and encourage them to do it even more. Other thoughts? Comments? Anybody at home?
Well, I've always looked at this fourth verse. We'll see if I can word this right. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. But if you just look at the numbers that we have here tonight versus the numbers we have on Sunday mornings, the numbers we have on Wednesday evenings, verse 4 says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So many times we view Bible classes, per se, as something that I come to so that I get something out of it. And in reality, by my coming, I hopefully get something out of it, but what do? I encourage the teacher, and I edify my brothers and sisters by being here. So it's not just my own interests. If I'm just coming here for my own interests, there's some things that we study I'm not interested in.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, I think it's an overall attitude, you know, so... And it's as simple as someone like Vicky puts together Coffee and Connections. And if you can support it and get together and support each other, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Or you could go, yeah, I don't like coffee. You're missing the point. You know, so.
I agree. But I also feel like it's worth mentioning that when you have a whole church assembly, you have to count on the fact that in the whole church assembly, you're going to have all kinds of people. You're going to have babes in Christ. You're going to have people that are more mature. And if you address those mature individuals, sometimes you're going to cause a babe in Christ who needs milk to choke on meat. So there are a lot of things that aren't appropriately discussed in a whole church assembly. And if we don't accept the fact that sometimes we need to address the needs of mature Christians, then we're going to hang mature Christians out to dry. I understand we need to have whole church assemblies. They are commanded, okay? Clearly they're commanded. But sometimes we need to have an opportunity for mature Christians to talk about some things that babes in Christ aren't ready to talk about. And they would be hurt if you talked about it.
Isn't that how they learn? Listening to the more mature Christians.
Maybe, but if you introduce what mature Christians need, sometimes it can be damaging to an immature Christian. They're not ready for it. You have to grow some in order to be ready for it. Yes, you do learn by listening to something that is beyond you. That's undeniable. But sometimes when you talk about things that are beyond you, it can be so far beyond you that it damages you. Yeah.
I think that the whole point of the verses that I read is the unity that we get from the commitment to Christ. It not only strengthens us here in the class, but if you go back to conflict resolutions, it also is the way that you resolve the conflicts. So the unity and understanding the love of God is what I think it's really handling right here. But
yeah,
not that you're not right about the other statement that you made, but that's what I feel for the focus.
Yeah. I agree with what you're saying, that immature Christians learn from mature Christians. But I doubt that there are very many people that are really interested in a long discussion of the difference between Augustine and those people that were standing against Augustine. And that's a discussion that mature people can have, and they can profit from it. But it's not something that I would do in a whole church assembly. It's not the appropriate venue. Yeah, Dean.
Well, just to honestly piggyback on what you're saying, I never really thought about it that way, but I feel freer in this group to maybe disagree with you. You know, because one, I voice this view, I appreciate that I can disagree with you. And at the end, we can still talk about whatever I want to talk about. But for some babes, for a true babe, for me to disagree with you and you to, you know, to defend yourself in a class like this, where I think that that's how we grow, they might see that as contention or strife and not see the aftermath. So in a large, like in the conflict resolution class where we have everybody, I would approach that situation hopefully different, because I know that you and I can disagree and still be friends. But, you know, my point prior to that had more to do with the mature Christians making the choice to support other, you know, we don't, you know, I'm not definitely not disagreeing with what you have to say, but I just think that sometimes we look at things and we go, yeah, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
And, which, you know, you hate to even say that out loud, but it does happen. And so
I
come support a class simply for the teacher and the other people that are in that class.
Absolutely. We can become so concerned about supporting babes in Christ that we spend all of our time in classes. And that there's no good in that. We need to have time that we're out doing what we want to do. And 99% of us don't have an unlimited amount of time. You know, I have to work a 40-hour job. I come home. I have to take care of the kids. I have to keep the house up. I have to cook dinner. At best, I can squeeze maybe 5 hours a week to do something. And I can't use my 5 hours doing nothing but supporting weak Christians. Sometimes I have to go out and do. And that can become debilitating as well. So, yeah, I agree. Mature Christians support immature Christians. But sometimes mature Christians need to say, I need to do something else. And we spend all of our time paralyzed by immature Christians. And we can't do that. Okay? And again, don't think that I'm somehow putting down immature Christians. I'm thrilled that we have immature Christians. That's the way we grow. I believe that that's what God intended for the church to be. And we must have whole church assemblies where we support everybody. We must have that. But if we don't also support mature Christians, then we're letting the mature Christians down. Okay. Wow, that wasn't what I intended for this passage to be talking about. But it's worthwhile. It's something we need to consider. So, yeah, Bob.
Seeing as how we're already astray, I'm sitting here asking myself, why verses 20 and 21 are in this reading like this? For I have no one of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare, for they all seek after their own interests, but not those of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
So that's, to me, that's kind of like a warning, and if I connect it with the first four of your other reading, then it makes more sense.
Okay.
To me, in that respect, I don't know if...
How is that?
Well, we're being encouraged to put other interests before our own. But over here in verse 21, we're being told about others who seek only their own interests. Well,
but
that's kind of a warning.
But they're seeking their own interests as opposed to seeking the interests of Christ.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a little bit different than saying, I need to learn about this. Okay. That in my mind, I don't think those two ideas are connected. Kim?
I was going to say, I think here Paul and his co-author, Timothy, because it looks like this letter came from both of them, Paul is kind of giving Timothy's credentials. And he's saying, I'm sending Timothy to you. He has sort of really proven himself as being concerned about others' welfare. Even more so than some of the other people I've worked with. It kind of sounds like he's saying that. He says, those people tend to look out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ, but Timothy does. And so I think in that context, I think that's what he's saying here, is he's really kind of laying out Timothy's credentials and saying, I'm going to send him to you to help you with this matter.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to get, I have a question. I don't have a resolution in my head. So this letter to the Philippian church, to the church in Philippi, is very clear in the very beginning. It says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. This letter is definitely going to the church. This is a letter that is going to the church in Philippi. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. From verse 3 on through Philippians, it appears that he is addressing the individual. He's talking about individual characteristics. He's talking about the work that an individual does. Even the verses that we read, he's talking about in chapter 2, he's talking about, you know, if you have any encouragement from being unified with Christ, that's kind of more of a church thing, right? But then he drills down, and if you have any comfort in his love, if any fellowship in the Spirit, with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. That seems very individual. He's addressing individuals. So how do I sort through, what is a command, or what is a direction, I should say a direction from Paul and Timothy to the church, the corporate church, the entity, and then how do I sort out the individual Christian? So I'm struggling with that when you're dividing this out between individual and church. Yes, the letter is going to a church. In fact, even talks about the overseers and the deacons, right? So it's definitely that corporate entity that he said, but it's made up of individuals. And so when it, everything he talks about throughout the rest of the is really very much about living as a Christian, which is what the church does, is it helps to equip us, equip the saints to do good work. That, and I think that's what we're saying, is the church provides opportunities. It makes one another opportunities available so that we can perform the good works that God has designed for us to do. So I'm confused. I'm having a hard time kind of grappling with that and figuring out this distinction, this division, especially in these verses, because I look at that and I think, okay, it's clearly a letter to the church. The church is made up of individuals, but he starts talking to individuals in the letter and individual characteristics, not characteristics of a large entity. So that's my question, and probably we're not going to solve it today, but that's... Really, I mean,
it's an excellent question.
I'm just confused.
It's an excellent question. So how do we resolve it? Dean, you had a comment.
Well, I think it's a great question. But I think that it's, like, the way that you have this divided right here, there are things that, like, when we started about posting things and what the church kind of universal or the church as a corporation does, and then what individuals do, which we'll talk about next week. But it's kind of like talking about the qualifications of elders. Well, I'm not going to be an elder, so none of those apply to me. Is that true? It's not true. So I think that what Paul in Philippians is trying to do when you're dealing with the church, so as you stand there in the pulpit and you talk to the congregation about this topic that's a broad topic, it's still an individual topic, but it's the focus, right? So it's the focus, conflict resolution. The focus is for us as a church, a body made up of individuals, to grow together in this same direction, having the mind of Christ, putting others before self, right? So if that's God's plan all along. So I think that Paul is directing the focus. And then, you know, to Kim's earlier comment about the credentials of Timothy, if you just read one more verse, that's basically what he says, is I'm commending him to you. So I think all those verses are directly tied to his saying, this is why I'm sending Timothy. But, you know, as a church, it's really easy. And I think we can go back to, again, to this morning's lesson. You know, there's 5,000 people in this church and some people are being neglected. Well, that's what happens as a large group. We think we're taking care of the need as a large group and we're missing individuals. We're not doing the individual work. And so Paul in Philippians is talking about both. Not just for the growth of the Philippians, but for the growth of the gospel in the Philippian area. So it's like, it's just stacked, you know, it's just layers and layers that I think that just complement each other. But it's an individual work that I have to improve on, that so do you, right? So does everybody else that's sitting in a pew. And, you know, when you look at the gospels and you look at, you know, these epistles, sometimes it can get convoluted. You're like, is he talking about me or is he talking about them? Well, what I have to realize is I'm them. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes I see me in the scriptures, and then I see them. And the scriptures are to me, and how I interact with them.
Yeah, good point. Good, excellent point. Everybody is making very good points, yeah.
Well, Lee pointed out and said that, your next scripture, Hebrews 10 and 24, 25, but I go back to 23, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good works, not forsaking our own assembly, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Again, he's talking to the group, he's talking to the church, but that's all individual stuff.
Okay.
I don't know if that...
Yeah, that's why I put it on the individual side. Yeah, this is what we do. We encourage one another.
Yeah, but it's in your next church side. It's on the church side.
Oh, I have it on the church side.
Well, but it is talking to the church, but it's talking individual, just like what Kim is saying. The letter is addressed to the church, but you have so much in the individual, and I think that's
okay.
I think you can't maybe pull the two apart.
That's true. It's hard to distinguish between the two sides. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, and I'm not really too sure in Hebrews if that letter is addressed to a church like the Philippian letter was. I think it's addressed to Hebrew Christians at large. But I don't know if it seems in Philippians it's definitely addressed to a local congregation in Philippi that have overseers and deacons and members. But Hebrews is a different kind of a letter, and it's a more broad letter. It does not appear to me anyway that it's addressed to a specific congregation of people as much as it is to Hebrew Christians at large.
Okay.
But that's...
Okay. Fair comment. I'll tell you the reason that I put Hebrews 10 in the church side is it's talking about assembly.
Oh,
and,
sure.
And so that's why I put it on the church side.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's difficult to look at most of these passages and say, oh, that applies to the individual and not to churches. Or it applies to churches and not to individuals.
And if this is a safe place to share, I hope it is. I think that maybe historically in sort of the sound Church of Christ, we've kind of maybe so emphasized this distinction and this point where we have become paralyzed. For example, if you and I decide that we're going to go and serve food to the homeless, you know, whatever organization they have here in Eugene, and we're going to participate in that. And we want to invite other Christians to do that because it's a great way to share the gospel. It's a great way to meet other people. It's a great way to extend ourselves. I'm not saying that the Church of Christ at Coburg Road is going to do it, but we want other Christians to, would it be appropriate to put that flyer up on the bulletin board or to put it in the bulletin or to say something from the pulpit during announcements or something like that, that Dean and Kim are going to do this and then would like to invite whoever would like to help and work, you know, touch base with them, and they're going to do that. Would that be appropriate for the church to sort of help to provide that opportunity? I personally don't have a problem with that. I think that that's what the church could be doing. But again, like I said, I hope this is a safe place to kind of share that. That doesn't mean that I'm going to just up and do that, but you know what I mean? It's just a concept. The concept is we need to be doing good, and we need to do good outside of these four walls. Yeah. It's really easy to sit here and say, well, if somebody wanted the gospel, they would come in this building and they would get it.
And we have done that. We've
done it a lot.
We went and cleaned at the Ronald McDonald House.
Well, not this church, but we've done it with other congregations.
In other places.
Right. We've done that. We've done homeless things. We've done Mary's Kitchen in California, the Canyon Church.
Yeah.
We did that. We didn't do it as the church. We did it as individuals who were members of that church.
Right. Yeah, Dean, you got the last word.
I like that question because that kind of solidifies what we're talking about tonight is we're not doing that as a church, but we should be doing that.
Right.
You know, we should be doing that. And so, and I think we can take that back to Philippians. Here's this letter to the elders and the deacons in the church. Grow in these things and support each other in these things. And I do agree with Kim. We can become so paralyzed. We can also become so liberalized that we got flyers for garage sales. And so that's why we have elders. And that's why we do things the way that we do it. And if, because we don't want our liberties to be a stumbling block for somebody else, if it becomes an issue, conflict resolution, we come up with a better way of doing those things. Maybe we put a bulletin board in the security office that has to do with community activity. I mean, there's ways to resolve that, but there's definitely a line between what the church does and what we as individuals should. I mean, the world is full of opportunities. But Vicki and I attended a church in Texas, and it was just about raising money for all their missionary work. You know, it was just, there was no sermon. Well, there was a sermon. It was an inaccurate sermon, and I was coming out of my skin. But you can lose sight in any direction. And so you have letters like Hebrews, and you have letters like the Philippians that redirect our focus and kind of sharpen the pencil to where we understand the rules.
Okay.
And then that way we can support these things. We can have a men's breakfast. But is it paid for and sponsored by the church? No. But are there members of the church that will come and say, hey, Dean, here's some money in case somebody can't afford to have breakfast? That's what we're talking about. That's that. I mean, that type of community is amazing. And then you can't help but grow as a congregation without having to beat people's knuckles with a ruler for their attendance or their this or their that.
Yeah.
We're having good turnouts in these things, these opportunities. So I think this is an excellent study, and I think we've had excellent comments. Not that it matters what I think, but I've enjoyed the class. So
let me just say, this is not a class that I would have done in a whole church assembly. Okay. But I think it's a class that we need to have. And Dean had the last word.